As we pass out the handouts tonight, my desire is just to be very practical. I know we're coming right off of Sunday evenings where we're studying dynamic devotions. And so I've been praying for the past couple months what God would have me to share with you tonight. And I thought it was going to go one direction. And I guess about 2-3 weeks ago, God decided he was going to go a different direction with tonight's message. And so tonight's message is, how bright is your flashlight? And I know you're probably thinking, well, Chris, what in the world? Where are you going with this? If you ask my wife or you ask my kids, they'll tell you that I'm a little bit crazy about flashlights. I use them for my work. I use them for hunting. I use them when we go camping with the kids. And I don't know about you, but when I get a flashlight, I want a nice flashlight. I don't want just like an El Cheapo. I want something something that's really bright. It's going to last a long time. Something that's going to be able to hold up if I drop it. And tonight I'm using the analogy or the comparison of a flashlight to our spiritual lives. We've been studying the last several weeks about dynamic devotions, how to get into God's Word and really study it, really have it speak to our hearts, find out what God has for us. And the more and more I thought about that, the more and more I thought about how light is found all throughout the Scripture. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. This is going to kind of be the foundation verse of our message tonight. And then we're going to just answer some simple questions about this passage. Psalm 119, verse 105. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight I pray that you would speak through me as your vessel. I pray that your word would be clear. I pray that you'd fill my mouth and my mind with the words that you want to have said tonight, and that you would allow us to block out all distractions and just be able to focus in on what you have for us tonight. We ask all these things in your precious name. Amen. So tonight, we're going to ask ourselves just 6 simple questions. I remember these questions from when I was a teacher. If you remember back to your school days, or students who are in school now, just the first words of who, what, where, when, why, how. As we dig into this passage, the first blank we're going to look at is, or the first question we're going to ask ourselves is, who is the first blank? Who is our light? If we know that the light is mentioned throughout Scripture, what is the light, or who is the light that the Bible speaks of multiple times? Go with me to the Gospels, look in John chapter 8 is where we're going to begin tonight. We're going to kind of be going through a lot of Scripture. I want to show you from Scripture as we answer these questions. But John chapter 8, verse 12 is where we're going to begin to answer this first question. The Bible says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying," and if you have a red letter edition, you'll see this is all in red. He says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And then if you jump over a few chapters to chapter 12 of that same book, John chapter 12, verse 46, once again, Jesus is speaking here. He says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." So as we look at this first question, who is our light? Jesus Christ is our light. Jesus is the light of the world. He says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And so we have the great privilege as Christians to be messengers of that light. He is the source of light. He is the giver of light. But we are called to be messengers of that light. Question number 2, what has God provided as our source of light? And this is really where it kind of spins off of the last few weeks that we've been studying on Sunday nights. God's provided this book, the Word of God, His Word to us to be the light, our source of light. We already read the text tonight is the foundation of our message. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you've ever been camping on a dark night, We go up to Pennsylvania. We have a cabin up there. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever been out in the middle of nowhere, out in the country, away from the city lights, I mean, it's really dark. I mean, you have the stars, but that's it. I mean, living around here, we don't really get true darkness until you get out into the country. So when we're up in the mountains up in Pennsylvania, I mean, there's no cell service, there's no electricity, there's no running water. We're like a half an hour away from civilization. And flashlights become very important. A flashlight that works, a flashlight that's very bright. You have to have a flashlight to get to the outhouse. You have to have a flashlight to get to the stream to get water when it's dark. When we go on walks at night, you have to have a flashlight. The Bible says that God's word is that flashlight for us spiritually. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's just like a flashlight shows you the things that are in front of you so that you don't trip and stumble. God's word does that for us as well spiritually. It shows us the things in our path. It shows us what's out in front of us. It shows us what to look for, what to look out for, who to look out for in some cases. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Go down to verse 130 in that same chapter. Psalm 119, verse 130. The Bible says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. That's one of the reasons why I love reading the book of Proverbs so much, because it's just a book of wisdom. It gives you daily wisdom on practical living and daily life. And God says in Psalm 119, it giveth understanding unto the simple. We've all been simple at times. And the source of wisdom to overcome being simple or not understanding something, needing more wisdom, is the word of God. The entrance of thy words give life. Proverbs 6:23, flip over there with me to the next book over. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Once again, it's talking about God's word, how it's a lamp unto our feet. His law is light to our path. The reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Obviously, it's not always fun being reproved by the word of God, but we need it. We need it on a daily basis. We need God to show us things in our life that are not right and to correct us, just as we do as parents with our children. So the word of God is that to us. So who is our light? Our light is Jesus Christ. What has God provided as our source of light? He's provided the word of God. Question number 3. Where is our light supposed to shine? Do you know the Bible has an answer for that as well? Turn with me to Matthew. I think this is one of the clearest passages of as far as where our light is supposed to shine. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 14 with me. Once again, we see Christ speaking here. He says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Now, every time I read this passage, I don't know about you, but I think about the song that I used to sing as a child. How about you? This little light of mine, I'm not going to sing for you, believe me, you don't want that to happen, but this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan poof it out. I'm going to let it shine. Won't have it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. That's what I always think of when I read this passage. But it's so true. If you know anything about history, in the early days of the colonies, when America was just being founded, Massachusetts Bay Colony used verse 14 of this passage as kind of like their foundational verse. They wanted to be a city upon a hill. They wanted to be example. It comes from the Gospels. It comes from Jesus' admonition to us to be a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid, to be a light of the world. So tonight, when we ask ourselves, where is our light supposed to shine? It's supposed to shine wherever you're at. When I look across this room, I don't know all of you as far as what your occupations are, but I see a wide assortment. We've got military. We've got education. We got teachers in here. We have a realtor. We have people that work for the government. I work at Prison Fellowship. Jason works in travel. We have a wide assortment. And what that's going to look like for each one of us is going to be different. There's going to be people that you're going to be able to be a light to that I can't, that God's called you to be a light to. People in your circle of friends, people in your place of employment, people in your neighborhood. We don't always realize the situations that God puts us in or why He puts us where He does, why He allows us to go through the things that He does. But I found many times it's because there's somebody there that He wants me to cast my light upon. There's somebody there that He wants me to reach. For me, that's working at Prison Fellowship. Now, most of the people that I work with are believers, but I have the opportunity to deal with all types of contractors and people coming into the building doing work that I have a chance to explain to them what we do as an organization. Because people just can't really wrap their head around what Prison Fellowship it does and what we're all about. I have a home repair business on the side. I have the opportunity to go into countless people's homes and take the gospel with me. And just show them a difference of a contractor coming into their home. God's allowed me to go into Loudoun County Jail and start a Bible study. If you would have asked me years ago if I would be leading a Bible study in a jail, no way. But as a result of working for Prison Fellowship, He's given me this opportunity that I wouldn't have had before. It's an awesome privilege. That's what shining my light looks for me. What does it look like for you? What's your circle of influence? Where has God put you? Who does He have for you to be a light to? He wants our light to shine. He wants it to shine everywhere we go, whether it be at a doctor's office, at the grocery store, the gas station, at work, our neighborhood, inside of our own home, in front of our kids. We have to realize that God wants our light to shine in all those places. Question number four, when is our light supposed to shine? So we've asked ourselves who, we've asked ourselves what, we've asked ourselves where. When is our light supposed to shine? Turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 5. And look with me at verse number 8. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 8. Paul says here, "For you are sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk." Now, if you can remember when you got saved, go back with me in your mind to when you trusted Christ. And think back to when you used to walk in darkness before you got saved. That's what life was like without Christ. For me, it was... I finally got things settled from a salvation standpoint my freshman year of college. That's when I know for sure that I got things settled. So before that time, I was walking in darkness. Even though I grew up in a Christian home, went to a Christian school, I didn't have it nailed down. I didn't have it settled. And so Paul says here, you used to walk in darkness, but now you've been brought into the light. So walk as children of light. So when is our light supposed to shine? As soon as we get saved, and from that point forward. Now, obviously, the plan is for that light to get brighter and brighter the older we get and the closer that we get to Christ and the more that we grow in Him. But the light's supposed to start shining as soon as we get saved. We're children of light. We're called to be children of light. And so He wants us. The admonition is that we're supposed to let it shine from that point forward. Question number 5, why is our light supposed to shine? Go with me to the book of Acts. the book of Acts, chapter number 26. In verse number 18, this is in red letters again, this is Christ's words. He says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now the story here is Paul's Damascus Road experience. This verse is written about Paul. If you go back with me to verse 15, it says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? This is Paul speaking, and said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. And this is the verse, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. So why does God want our light to shine? Because there's people all around us. We're going to come into contact with people every single day that they have blinders over their eyes. Their eyes aren't open. Not to spiritual things anyway. Many times they don't even know it. They don't realize it. God needs us to shine our light to them, to open their eyes, to be able to turn them from darkness to light. And as we read this verse and as you think about that, there's probably somebody that comes to your mind. Somebody at work, somebody in your neighborhood, maybe somebody in your own family that doesn't know the Lord. Everybody, each one of us in this room, we have somebody in our sphere of influence, or maybe multiple somebodies that we need to shine our light. And I guarantee you, if you ask God for opportunity to shine your light to those people that come to your mind, He's going to give you that opportunity. I guarantee you. He's not going to ask you to do something that He's not going to provide you the opportunity to do. And so, what I would encourage you to do is to pray each morning and ask God, Lord, give me opportunities to make a difference. Give me an opportunity today to shine my light bright for you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, let's look at this one as well. This is another verse that goes along with this. Why is our light supposed to shine? Flip with me back towards the end of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Why does God want our light to shine? Because we're a royal priesthood. We're a chosen generation. We're a holy nation. He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. But He wants us, at the end of the passage there, He says, I want you to show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We've been studying through the book of Philippians in our Sunday school class, and Jason and I just love the Apostle Paul. Why? Because he never got over his salvation. He never got over that Damascus Road experience where he was brought from darkness into light. And you read through his letters in the New Testament, and you see that time and time again, that he was showing forth the praises of, he never forgot what Christ did for him, and he wanted the whole world to know about it. We have to realize that we have that same privilege. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, we have much to be thankful for. And we should be the most joyful Christians in the whole wide world to be able to shine our light to those around us and to share with them what Christ has done for us and the difference that He's made in our life. Now, as we get to the last question here, how does our light shine? So I want to be real practical with you. I brought some of my flashlights. This is one I use quite a bit in construction. I've got a spare battery here, and then I've got another just hand flashlights. To be real practical tonight, what's going to cause our spiritual flashlight to go dim? What's going to come into our life? What's going to cause us to not shine brightly for Christ? We know that He wants us to shine bright, but what's going to cause us to not be bright lights? What's going to cause us to for our lights to be dim? If you look in the handouts, letter A, we're going to come back to in just a minute. Letter B, when we keep sin out of our lives, is one of the things that's going to prevent our light from growing dim. One of the things that Satan's going to try to attack us with, if we have a mission, we have a desire to shine our bright light, or shine our lights very bright, he's going to try to attack us with sin. And sin's one of the easiest ways for us to not shine. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 John, this is where we're going to, the last passage we're going to be looking at tonight. 1 John chapter number 1. Look at verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of the easiest things that's going to affect your light is sin in your life. That's why it's so important that each morning that we ask God to search our hearts, to identify the sin that's in our life. But not just in the morning, but all throughout the day. To pray and ask God, Lord, keep me so sensitive to sin that as soon as I recognize sin in my heart or sin in my thought life, that you reveal it to me right away. That you identify it. That we're so in tune with the Holy Spirit that we sense it as soon as it happens. Because if we don't, it's going to affect our light shining. Now, on the flip side of that, what's going to cause our light to shine bright? Look at me earlier in the passage of chapter 1, verse 5. The Bible says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." So what's the secret to having our lights shining brightly? Staying close with the Lord, daily, day by day. Paul says, I die daily. I die to myself, and I live for Christ. In another passage, it's compared to the branches abiding with the tree. When that happens, when the branches are connected to the tree, they can produce much fruit. Here in 1 John, it's compared to light, abiding with the light. In my line of work, in order for my flashlight to work, what does it have to be connected to eventually? Well, these are cordless, but eventually I have to stick this battery. On the charger and plug it into an electrical outlet to charge that battery up. Both of these batteries look the same. And you can tell they're well used. I've been using them for several years in my business. But one of the great things I like about these batteries is on the back side, you can press this little button. You can't see it from up here probably, but you can press that little button. It'll show you what your battery strength is. This one's like run down. This one is fully charged. For those of you that have cell phones, What's one of the things we normally check first thing in the morning when we wake up? Our battery life. We're checking to make sure that our phone has enough power to get us through the day. Sometimes we forget to put it on the charger the night before, or we have to take the charger with us to work. In our society, we have to constantly charge our batteries. We have to constantly maintain, like with me, if I get on the job site and one of these things is not charged, I'm dead in the water. I've got to have a flashlight. I've got to have it working. I have to have it charged. I have to have it ready to go. We're no different as Christians. As Christians, we have spiritual flashlights. And Christ is saying to us, I am the source of light. Stay close to me. Stay in this book. Have your dynamic devotions. Spend quality time with me, diving into my word each day and having me talk with you. Spend time each day talking with me about your day, about the good times, about the bad times, about the things that are weighing heavy on our hearts. In Philippians, we were studying, be careful for nothing. But the Bible says, pray about everything. And he says, the promise of that is that the peace of God that passes all understanding is going to fill our hearts. That's the secret. Christ is there. Jesus Christ is there, ready and with open arms, ready to be that source of light for each one of us. But so often, we forget to put our hearts, our souls, on the battery charger. You see, we can, both of these batteries look the same. Can't really tell the difference. We come to church, we're much the same way. We all look the part. We can be dressed up, we can have a suit and tie. We can't really tell if each other's, if our batteries are low. Now, like I said, on these batteries, I can go up and I can, it's got a dead giveaway button on the back, I can tell how much charge it has. It's a good thing, I guess, as Christians that we don't have that little button. That would be a little bit too transparent, maybe. But it's humbling to know that my Savior does. Christ knows whether our light's shining brightly or not. The people around you are going to see very quickly if they come into contact with you whether your light is shining bright or not. And so let me challenge you this evening. Let's be real practical as we wrap up this study of having our dynamic devotions. Let's spend time in this book. Let's spend time in prayer so that we can keep our spiritual batteries charged, so that our flashlights will be bright, so that the people around us, we will be a city upon a hill, that when we go into work, when we're in our neighborhood, when we're interacting with our family, with our loved ones, no matter where we're at, that they can see the light of Jesus Christ shining in our lives. And what an amazing difference that's going to make. You never know the impact that you can have on somebody just by being in the place where God wants you to be and being a vessel that God can use. So tonight, as we wrap up, who is our light? Jesus Christ. What has God provided as our source of light? The Word of God. Where is our light supposed to shine? Everywhere we go. When is our light supposed to shine? From the time that we get saved and that point forward. Why is our light supposed to shine? Because we have a command, we have an obligation to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And then lastly, how does our light shine? By staying plugged in to the power source, and by keeping sin out of our lives, staying close to Christ. So let me ask you this evening, how bright is your flashlight? Has it been a while since you've been on the charger? Has it been a while since you've been in God's Word? Has it been a little while since you've spent some quality time talking with God? Let me challenge you. It's so easy in our society, especially in Northern Virginia, to get busy, to get distracted, to forget. We tend to put so many other things, take the priority. And so often, Bible reading and prayer time is the first thing that we're willing to push to the side because we get busy. And that ought not be the case. We have to make that a priority. We have to make that the first thing. So let me encourage you to work on this week, making sure that your flashlight is bright.